overflow area. You can make your way into sanctuary if you'd like. Our Brook kids have been dismissed, and they're down to be discipled and enjoy their time growing in faith. So if you are in overflow, we welcome you to come on into main sanctuary if you'd like to do that. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. We serve a good God, don't we, Brook family? Forgive any of us who are moving a little slowly today. We blame volleyball yesterday at the picnic on that. Thank you for all who came on out. We had a great time at the church picnic yesterday. Shout out to Stephen Huff and George Polito for grilling. Make sure to let JJ Pacheco know the food was better this year. All right? For you all don't know, JJ normally grills for us. We love busting him, so. In 1952, a woman by the name of Florence Chadwick made it her goal to swim from the Catalina Islands just off the coast of California to make that 26-mile swim from the islands to California. She made this her ambition, as she set out on this 26-mile journey, about 15 miles in, a dense and thick fog began to set upon the ocean. And those who were in the boat next to her as she swam were looking for sharks, looking for her safety, and her mother was inside the boat. And she looked at her mother, and she says, "I doubt I can keep doing this." The fog was so thick, she could not see her surroundings. She proceeded to swim for yet another hour, and basically at that point said, "I can't do this." She got into the boat, only to find that she was 1 mile away from shore. She had made the 25 of the 26 miles, but she pulled out a mile early. The fog had prevented her from seeing land. It prevented her from seeing her goal. It prevented her from seeing the fact that she probably could have made it quite easily had she just known she was so close to shore. Brook family, we know what it's like in our lives to have things begin to, as it were, fog our vision, prevent us from seeing the ultimate goal, which is Jesus, and to begin to follow him. It's easy for life to become quite distracting. So many things that get in our way. And we might begin to doubt in those moments whether or not we can really do this thing called discipleship, following Jesus. Throughout this summer, we've been going through a message series titled, "Lord Help, I'm So Distracted." I hope this message series has resonated with you all. It's resonated with me, definitely. The hardest thing for me has been being distracted preparing these sermons. We've talked about a variety of things that can distract us from following Jesus. Some of them are quite subtle and quite innocent, and others are quite dangerous and can really become something that can harm us. We talked about things as simple as busyness. Any of y'all busy out here today? You made me. I made you remember the things you got to do this afternoon just by asking the question, didn't I? Our cell phones. What a great device. What a terrible device. What a vice. We talked about things like just reality struggles with our mental health. Maybe attention deficit disorder. How our minds sometimes just don't cooperate. Some of us, how our bodies don't cooperate. We talked about fatigue, family, work. We talked about other things more dangerous like selfish ambition and pride. We talked about doing things, the right things, but in the wrong ways. Throughout this series, we've taken a look at distraction, and our brother Kerry Weiss, as he opened our series, charged us to, instead of being distracted by self-reliance, told us to admit to God our powerlessness. We need him. I hope you've done that this summer. Our brother Joshua reminded us how Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane told us when we're distracted by fatigue, distracted by the weariness of life, to pray for God's protection in the midst of temptation. We learn from King Solomon that a distracted and divided heart derails our devotion from God. We saw from Martha how she did that right thing, but she did it in the wrong way. She served Jesus when she ought to be at his feet. And we saw the charge to persist in faithfully sitting at the feet of Jesus so that we can faithfully serve as the feet of Jesus. Our brother Josh Phillips reminded us how we can practice God's presence. Much like a friendship, we don't always have to be talking to our friends in order to be present with our friends. We could be out and about in the busyness of life, but reminded that God is with us and we not necessarily need to talk to him, but praying continuously also involves being with God. We saw last week how other people will want to say who we are and what we are. We get very sidetracked by the opinions of others, but how Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. And today, my Brook family, as we conclude our series on distraction, my charge for you is to keep your head in the clouds. Now, you may have heard this idiom before, this figure of speech. They might say somebody has got their head in the clouds, and usually it's not a compliment, by the way. You're so distracted, you've got your head in the clouds. You're daydreaming. You're not thinking about reality. And they might say, hey, get your head out of the clouds. Get here on earth with us. Well, today what I want to do is flip the script a little bit and say that we need to keep our heads in the clouds. Not in some daydreaming, disconnected from reality kind of way, but so in such a way that we understand that when our head is in the clouds, we actually can be more focused on earth. As we conclude today, we're going to see this charge of how to battle against distraction. And in order to do this, I'm going to invite you to join me in the book of Colossians. Our address for today is on the screen, chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. And Brook family, as we do all the time in the reading of God's word, we want to invite you to stand to your feet in honor of God's word. Our brother Ricky Padilla already mentioned, but there are Bibles in the chairs in front of you. There are black Bibles. Some are Spanish NVI translation. Some are English ESV translation. And we invite you to follow along in whatever version is most comfortable for you. We want to thank our Spanish speakers who are joining with us as always and worshiping with us. And we want to be a church that understands the beauties of God's multilingual church that he has created. Colossians chapter 3. That's what God's word tells us. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds, can you say set your minds?
Set your minds.
Set your minds on the things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Father God, we come before you, Lord, this morning, and we are believing you, God, to speak to us. We are here today, Lord, very cognizant of how badly we need you, but oh, Lord, how I pray you meet us here. God, I pray you battle through fatigue, battle through the busyness and to-do lists, battle through all the distractions that are in front of us today, and I pray we would soak in your presence. Lord, as we prayed as a worship team beforehand, Lord, we know theologically that you are an omnipresent God, which means you are everywhere. You are here today by virtue of your omnipresence. But Lord, today we pray for more. We pray for a realization of your presence, a kind of tangible reality that you are here with us today, Lord. So God, speak to us, speak through me. Grant us ears to hear you with clarity. Grant us eyes to see you with clarity. We pray you be glorified, God. Lord, we lift up our brothers and sisters in West Palm Beach at the light. God, we pray that you would just show your power there as they worship and gather, God, as they make disciples in Florida. Lord, I pray your blessings upon them. We pray for our brothers and sisters throughout the globe, whether it be in Monrovia, Liberia, or in India, or in South Korea, or in South Africa, or wherever it might be, Lord, I pray that your saints would be emboldened in faith today, Lord, and that we'd be united under the cross of Jesus Christ, our great God and Savior. So we bring these requests to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You may take a seat, family. Well, as we come to today's passage, I'll be spending most of our time in these first four verses and then jumping in verses 5 to 17 as we land our plane at the end of this sermon. But in the opening two verses, there are two commands that the Apostle Paul gives to the followers of Jesus, to the church in this city of Colossae. This is a letter written to a church to encourage believers to be bold in their faith. And Paul tells them, if then you have been raised with Christ, first command, then seek the things that are above where Christ is seated. And the second command in verse 2, set your minds on the things that are above. There are two commands, hay dos comandos, that make up the thrust of this passage. The command to seek, a buscar. The command to set, a consentir. These are the commands that drive the thrust of this passage, to seek and to set our minds. Specifically, we're told in verse 2 to set your minds on things that are above where Christ is seated. And essentially, this is a call for us to have the mindset to set our minds on heavenly things. Y'all with me here? Yes. All right, I want to ask if you are with me here. You with me here? Yes. All right, good, good, good. A reminder for Brooke family, you know what I'm going to tell you? This is a dialogue, not a monologue. I invite you to join with me as I preach God's word and for us to collectively receive it. We have this command to set our minds on the things above, but we're told to seek the things that are above as well in verse 1. Now, we're not told what we are seeking with, but presumably, as we see throughout the Bible, what God wants is not part of who we are, not half of who we are, not 98% of who you are. When we seek God, God wants us to seek him with all that we are. So the call to set our minds is to set our minds on things above. And the call to seek, I would say, is to seek with the entirety of your being. Mind, body, soul, and spirit. With all of your will to seek God. Now what I think is really cool in this passage is that we seek with all our lives, the things that are above, and we set with our minds the things that are above. So both in our setting and in our seeking, God wants your mindset to be upon the things of heaven, heavenly things. Setting our minds has to do with where our thoughts lay. Seeking has to do with what our life does. Y'all with me here still? All right, so we want to have a mind that is set upon heaven and then to seek on earth, as it were, the things of God with our minds set upon heavenly things. I'm going to break this down for us because both are intimately connected. Where we set our minds and how we seek with our lives. This means that the position of your mind, Brooke family, has bearing on the position of your life. I want you to hear this here. What I want us to understand is that where our mind is at reflects where our lives go. What we set our minds to will begin to influence what we set our lives to. What our minds are preoccupied with will lead our lives to be directed in the same place. Well, that means that we cannot fill our minds with distractions and expect our lives to reflect focus. That means that if our minds are drifting, our lives will follow. That means that legs that walk the straight and narrow path reflect a mind that is set on that same exact path. Jesus says it this way. He says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So also out of the abundance of the thought, the life lives. Here we are called to set our minds on the things that are above, to seek the things that are above where Christ is seated. So what are we setting our minds on, Brook family? The things that are above. Heavenly things. That's not to say that the things on this earth are altogether bad. In fact, the Bible tells us God made this earth, and after each day of creation, he said that it was good. But what is bad is when sin entered the world and brought destruction upon humanity and even upon creation. If you're in your DNA group and you've gotten to week three, and I hope you have and I hope you will, you will see that creation itself is longing for its own redemption. Why? Because creation, like humanity, has experienced brokenness. With every natural disaster, creation is groaning, longing for its redemption. So not all on earth is bad because God created the heavens and the earth. But we do know that much on this earth can be distracting and veer us away from the Lord. Now here's the thing. When Paul says to set your minds on heavenly things, I'm amazed at this because that is not yours and my natural inclination. In fact, to set our minds on heavenly things is to kind of put us out of our natural element, doesn't it? You've ever traveled to a foreign city or to any city that you've never been to before, and you walk those streets, you feel out of your element. You ever go to a new place of work, and your first day in the job, you step into the office, you're looking around because you're not in your element. And here Paul tells us, as followers of Jesus who are living on earth, to set our minds in a place where our minds have actually never been. It's out of our element. It's not our natural disposition to think upon heavenly things. Well, the question that I was begging of the text is, how can I set my mind on things that are above when I have never been to heaven? How can I set my mind to a place that is not natural to my own makeup as a human being? Paul says, seek the things that are above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. So he's telling us, all right, where Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, I want your eyes there. All right, that's helpful. But nonetheless, I'm not there. And then he goes on in verse 2, set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. So the question is, but how do I do this? Verse 3 begins to tell us. It says, for you have died, and your life is what? It's hidden where? With Christ. And where is Christ? He is at the right hand of the Father. So you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God, so that when Christ, who is your life, appears, you will also appear with him in glory. I want us to understand what Paul is telling us here. He has already made the argument to these Colossian believers that when Jesus died, they, the old self of them, died as well. He already made the argument that when Jesus was buried, that they were buried. When Jesus was raised, they were raised. When Jesus was ascended to the Father, we have been ascended to the Father. And so our natural inclination to be of the earthly things now gets flipped around when we put our faith in Jesus, and we who are of the earth are now in Christ, and when Christ is exalted, we ourselves there can be with God. We can set our minds on the things of heaven. Let me show you guys this from the text here. In chapter 2, verse 20, Paul tells the Colossian believers, if with Christ you died, he's telling them, you died with Christ. And then in chapter 3, verse 3, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ. Indeed, when Jesus died on the cross, you yourself died to your old self, family. Our sinful nature died with Jesus. Look in chapter 2, verse 12a. It says, having been buried with him, we're told that we've been buried with Christ, spiritually speaking. And then chapter 2, verse 12 again, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God. And then chapter 3, verse 1, if then you've been raised with Christ, seek the things of Christ. Brooke family, I want us to really understand what's being stated here. We then have been united with Jesus in his death, burial, resurrection, and ascension. So when the Bible tells us to set our minds on the things that are above, it actually is no longer all that foreign to us because our life is hidden with Christ who is above. Set your minds on the things that are above. Keep your head in the clouds. Keep your eyes upon Jesus. Maintain a heaven's mentality. See, what I want us to understand when we're battling distraction in life, this is the second point, ongoing victory as a follower of Jesus is less a matter of effort trying more as it is a matter of focus. Where is your mindset? So the table is indeed set. This is what it's like. Whenever you have someone over for dinner and you set the table with the intention of doing something at the table. And your intention is to eat. An action follows the setting. And so Paul says, if then you've been raised with Christ, he tells him, yeah, you got to set your mind on things above, but the outflow of setting our minds on heavenly things is therefore then to seek actively a life that is sold out for Jesus. Seek the things that are above. So here's the way the flow works for us. Paul's saying, if you've really been united with Jesus and your mind is set on heaven, as your mind is set on heavenly things where Jesus is, seek in your life a lifestyle that's following him. Seek him out with all that you are. We set our minds and we seek with our lives. This idea of setting our minds, Brooke family, I want us to linger here for a moment. Because I think many of us may not realize what is taking place for your minds. Your mind is a battlefield. Your mind is a battleground. And so the battle for your life begins on the battlefield of your minds. You want to see how this is true in Scripture? When Jesus tells his disciples that he's about to die on the cross, Peter is bothered by this. And Peter tells Jesus, no, Lord, you will never do that. This is not okay, not okay at all. And you know what Jesus tells Peter? He says, get behind me, Satan. Jesus says, you are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man. Peter becomes a stumbling block to Jesus because Peter has his mind set on the things of earth. Brooke family, when we are living for the things of this earth, you will be tripping up all the time. Peter understood this lesson. Because in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, he tells the believers, therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be sober-minded. Set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Peter's like, hey, I learned my lesson, y'all. I know what it's like to have my mindset on earth. Jesus rebuked me, and it's a memorable one. But I'm telling you, be sober-minded, set your mind on heavenly things, awaiting the return of Jesus. Seek the things that are above. The battleground is in our minds. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5, he says, for the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments. Where are arguments at? In your mind. And every lofty opinion, where are your opinions at? In your mind. He said, we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and we take every thought captive to obey Christ. Brook family, where your mind is set, so also will your life go. That's why Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. What Paul is telling us here, Brook family, is that distraction is actually a matter of spiritual warfare. I don't know if y'all heard me here or there. Distraction is actually a matter of spiritual warfare. That's not to say every distraction is of the devil. All right, so when your kids run in the room, they distract you from praying, be like, get thee behind me, Satan. Like, no, all right? Don't pull that out. But there is a battle for your mind, Brook family. There is no subtlety in advertisement. There are no coincidences in algorithms. There is a battle for your mind. And let it not be that we then are passive in the midst of the battle. Paul says, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. Verse 3, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. As we set our minds and seek with our lives an earthly mindset, we keep in mind the fact that Jesus is coming back, Brook family. This is not a question in the Christian faith. We believe that just as Jesus came once, he said he's coming back again. And we believe that the hope of his return has a purifying element in our lives. I remember as a kid, and I've told you all this before, when my mom would go at a women's retreat, and she said, when I get home, I want your rooms to be clean. I want you to know that that detail had a purifying effect on my bedroom that weekend. Because the reality of return made me realize I want to do what I'm told to be done. And what Paul is telling us is Jesus is coming back to take his people home. And the hope and the certainty of his return has a purifying element in our lives. Let's talk about then what that looks like as we set our minds and seek the things that are above as we walk this life. Because as we seek the heavenly things, the reality is you and I live amongst earthly things. And in verses 5 to 17, he begins to unpack how we seek out heavenly things amidst so many earthly things. And we don't have time to unpack these all in detail, so I'm going to do a quick flyover. I've got my drone here, okay? We're going to fly over the text and make some observations as I read the passage. But by and large, I want God's word to speak for itself as we look at it. I want us to notice in verse 5 that Paul says, in light of the fact that we are to set our minds and seek the things that are above, verse 5, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. Put to death what is earthly in you. Or in verse 9, he says, put off, notice that, put off the old self with its practices and put on the new self. Look at verse 12. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, and then a list of things to put on follows. What Paul wants us to understand here is there are some activities, there are some actions that follow those who have their minds set on heavenly things. The first one is that we put to death the things of the earth, the earthly desires. We put those off. But we don't just put off and put to death, but we put on the things that are from above. There is a kind of out with the old and an in with the new that comes with the Christian life. Let's take a look at the things that he highlights here. And how, when we have our minds set on Jesus and the heavenly things, they begin to sanctify us from these earthly things. Verse 5, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. What specific things is he talking about? Sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desires, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices. Paul gives us a list of things, some jarring, some more subtle, things that typify the earthly, things that typify the fleshly. He says, as those who have our minds set on heavenly things, we put to death what is earthly. Now again, putting to death, that's pretty gruesome language, isn't it? Like he could just said put off, put away, lock up, get rid of, put to death. Same language he uses in Romans 8. Y'all remember that in DNA. Put it to death. It reminds me what Jesus says. If your right hand causes you to sin, what do you do? Cut it off. If your left eye causes you to sin, what do you do? All right, gouge it out. All right, so that's your application for today, Brooke family. What Jesus wants us to understand is what Paul wants us to understand here. Our sinful nature and these earthly desires are not to be coddled. We're not to keep them close enough to go to when we feel bad. We don't keep them close enough to go to when times are tough. Paul said, put them to death. Kill your fleshly desires. And he goes right for the first thing, sexual immorality. And you're thinking like, man, Paul, that's some heavy language there. And the truth of the matter is, Brooke family, God has made us sexual beings. He has. And so our sexuality, as God designed, is not a bad thing. Even our sexual desires. But when sin entered the world, those desires became corrupted. And the place of sexual enjoyment within marriage between a husband and a wife has been twisted. And that has become lost in a world that is broken. And everything outside of that then reflects the earthly desires of this world. And Paul's like, man, you got to put those desires to death. Sexual immorality, impurity, passion, which a better way to translate, I think, is lust and evil desires. And I know whenever these words come up in any passage when I preach, I know every single one of us feels a bit of a cut to the heart because we know how weak we are. And my Brooke family, what I want to do is give some words of encouragement from God's word here. Because we live, as we all know, in a hyper-sexualized society. Our access to all forms of sexual temptation are everywhere, both public and private. And the ability to live private lives is all that much more easier in our day and age, perhaps better, easier than ever. And so what do we do when our hearts and our flesh is burning and these desires are so overwhelming and we become so used to victory, then falling, then victory, then falling. And we begin to doubt whether or not we could ever live for God's glory again. How do we begin to live different than our old self, which didn't even think twice about these passions? And now as we're followers of Jesus, we're like, God, I don't want to dishonor you, but this is the pattern I know. What do you do? Well, he's already given us the answer, and I want you all to hear this. Because as Erica and I walk with our brothers and sisters throughout this church and others outside, we tell them precisely what Paul has already told us. How do you battle temptation of sexual natures, be it pornography, be it media, be it any kind of app, you name it, we know it's out there. You set your minds on the things that are above. Now you might say, oh, Pastor, that sounds really cool. All right, what does that mean? So I think what often happens to men and women and young people who are struggling with the lust of their flesh, we begin to put our minds on the struggle. We keep thinking to ourselves, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. And there's an element of, right, we got to resist temptation, right? But I think what happens is we get so consumed with what we ought not to do that we forget what God has given us to do. If our minds are set and our eyes are set on the heavenly things where Christ is seated, we are much less likely to let our eyes and our hearts get drawn to things that are of the earth. When we look to the heavens and we see a Savior who bled for our sins, who has given us a new life, and we know that we've been given the Holy Spirit, and we are new creations, and that we are who God says we are, and not what our failures say we are, when our minds and our eyes and our hearts are set on those truths, the power of our lust begins to lose its grip. And the more we turn away from and turn to the Lord, those cravings grow weaker and weaker. Now, we're still of this earth. We're still of this flesh. And we're not going to live perfectly. But you don't have to. The one that your eyes are set upon has already done that. Keep your eyes on Jesus, my brothers and sisters. That's how we put to death the things of the flesh. And indeed, we got cut off some hands, some legs, and gouged out some eyes. Cut out those things that are the greatest sources of temptation as we set our eyes on Jesus. Brooke family, I think some of us have coddled temptation for too long. And we've made excuses for why we need things in our lives that are only sources of temptation and little bit sources of help. But family, be aggressive with sin. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. Paul goes on to talk about covetousness, which he calls idolatry. It's never having enough and always wanting more. That's an idolatry because that becomes our pursuit. He says in verse 7, in these you too once walked when you were living in them. When we put our faith in Jesus, we don't live in those things anymore. We may fight them, we may battle them, but we don't belong to them. We don't live in them. We are in Christ. We are united with him. Again, let me tell you, when he died, you died. When he was buried, you were buried. When he was raised, you were raised. When he ascended, you've been ascended. And when he's coming back, you're going to join with him. That's who you are. So Paul can say, put them all away. And the same applies, the same strategy applies with anger, malice, envy. You name it. This is how we make war with the flesh. We set our minds and eyes on Jesus. And as we put off the one, we put on something altogether different. Verse 12 says, put on as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, you gossip about them, right? No, you forgive them. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And in verse 14, above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. I think if we could summarize what we put on and the mindset that God wants for us, it's in verse 17 when Paul says, and whatever you do, can you say whatever you do?
Whatever you do.
Can you say it like you believe it now?
Whatever you do
in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. That's what it's like to put off the old, to put on the new, to die to the old and to live to the new. It's to do all that we do for Jesus. with our mindset on Him. Lord, help. We get so distracted. But let not the distractions take your eyes off of the things above. In 1952, Florence Chadwick made it her goal to swim from the Catalina Islands 26 miles to the California coast. 15 miles in, a thick fog came over the ocean. She began to doubt and told her mother, "I cannot do this." Got into the boat to only find out she was 1 mile away. 2 months later, she tried it again. And as she swam from the Catalina Islands, the same thing happened. A thick fog began to set in. The situation was the same, but Florence was different. She said that she kept a mental image of the shoreline in her mind while she swam, and she made it the 26 miles to the end. She kept her mind on the goal, and it affected her journey to the end. My Brook family, set your minds on things that are above, not on things of the earth. Concentren sus atención en las cosas de arriba, no en las de la tierra. Remember, the position of your mind has bearing on the position of your life. That ongoing victory as a follower of Jesus is less a matter of effort as it is a matter of focus. And remember that the battle for your life begins on the battlefield of your mind. My Brook family, our Jesus came to this earth because we were lost in our sin. Jesus put on flesh so we can put off ours. Jesus died in the flesh so we can die to the flesh. He rose in victory so we can rise in victory. He ascended into glory so we can ascend into glory. He lives forever with the Father so we can live forever with the Father. And He's coming back so we can meet Him in the clouds. So I want to tell you, Brook family, maybe it ain't so bad to keep your head in the clouds. Father, we come before you, Lord, this morning, and we confess how prone we are to distraction, how prone we are to wandering. But Lord, I thank you that you are an anchor, God. You are a compass, Lord. You are the goal, oh Lord. And I lift up these saints, these beloved ones, God, whom you love, God. And I pray that they would keep in mind always, God, always setting their eyes and hope on that which is above, where Christ is seated. And Lord, when we grow weary and we feel like we can't do it, remind us that just as Jesus died and buried, was raised and ascended, we were with Him. We were hidden in Christ. So when we feel like we can't set our minds on heaven, remind us that we are already there. As Paul says in Romans 8, we have already been glorified. And we long for the day when that spiritual reality is linked with our experience. But I pray, Father, we would keep the goal in mind no matter how foggy, how thick, how distracting life comes. God, I pray that we would just bask in your presence, praying without ceasing, being with you. When tempted, that we'd be aggressive in prayer, that we put to death the flesh. God, fill us with hope today. God, I know some came today just wondering, Lord, if they could ever follow you like their heart desires. And I pray you give them hope today. God, I pray that they could see the beauties of heaven. And Lord, I pray that that hope would guide them through this earth. Lord, that's our prayer. God, I pray that even as we prepare to close this service with this closing song and praying. Lord, I pray that you might touch hearts. Brooke family, let the Lord touch your heart right now. God promises to turn a heart of stone into a heart of flesh. Maybe just calluses have come over your heart because of disappointment or failure, and you've begun to give up, and all you can do is see all your struggles, setting your mind on the things of this earth. Let the Lord touch your heart today. Let the Lord remove the scales from your eyes today. Even in your mind's eyes, set your eyes to heaven right now. Maybe with even your posture, lift up your head with your eyes closed to the clouds, to glory, where Christ is seated. Father, we set our minds upon you, our eyes upon you. Help us, Lord. Help us. I pray that we would experience the sheer joy and pleasure it is of walking with you through the valleys and the mountaintops, through our failures and our successes. I pray we experience your joy no matter what comes our way. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Prayer team, I do want to invite you to come forward to the right and left of the stage. Come on and do that right now. Brooke family, I invite you to stand to your feet. Let's respond in song. Let's respond with prayer. Let's respond, respond, respond. God is moving among us. Just hear his voice. So if you would come forward for prayer, our prayer team would love to pray with you. If you want, come forward to the stage. Kneel down here at the stairs as a sign of surrender, as a first steps towards obedience, as steps toward trust. Let the Lord move in you today. Let's sing together.